Today's episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast is brought to you by FreshBooks. To see how FreshBooks can save you time and boost your creativity, go to freshbooks.com/accidental and enter accidental in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Hey everyone, welcome to the Accidental Creative Podcast. My name is Todd Henry. I am your host. So, author Gretchen Rubin said, "What you do every day matters more than what you do once in a while." And I believe this is true. I think the things that we choose to do every day as a matter of practice, as a matter of ritual, are often the very things that form our experience, especially when we have to go to work. We have to create things every day. We have to make it up as we go. If we're shooting from the hip, if we're sort of taking it as it comes, then we're not going to be prepared for those moments when we have to be brilliant. Well, today's guest, Jen Sincero, has just released a book about how to build practices into your life every day to keep you in that position of creative viability. She's the author of a book called You Are a Badass, and her new book is called You Are a Badass Every Day, and it's about how to build practices into your life that sustain you over time. Before we dive into the interview, I want to let you know today's episode is brought to you by FreshBooks. So today's episode is all about rhythm. It's all about rituals. And this is something I wrote about in many of my books. And it's also something we talk about here on the show very often. And it's important to have rhythm in your life, rituals, to sustain your creativity over time. But the thing is, creating rituals doesn't just apply to your creativity. If you're a freelancer or you're a small business owner and you don't create rituals around dealing with your paperwork, you're going to have a tough time sustaining your business. And FreshBooks knows this all too well. So well, in fact, they've created ridiculously easy cloud accounting software that's perfect for creative pros. And the reason I describe it as perfect for creative pros becomes obvious the minute you try it. You can create and send professional, polished invoices effortlessly in about 30 seconds. With literally two clicks, you can set yourself up to receive payments online. They've also added a new feature called Proposals, which lets you incorporate your project details, the scope of work, and a timeline right into your estimate. We love FreshBooks. Using it makes a huge difference in how we feel about dealing with our day-to-day admin and paperwork here at Accidental Creative. And right now, they're offering an unrestricted 30-day free trial, which means you don't need a credit card. Just go to freshbooks.com/accidental and enter accidental in the How Did You Hear About Us section. That's freshbooks.com/accidental and enter accidental in the How Did You Hear About Us section. We thank FreshBooks for sponsoring this episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast. Well, our guest today is Jen Sincero. She is the author of You're a Badass. She's also the author of the new book, You're a Badass Every Day, How to Keep Your Motivation Strong, Your Vibe High, and Your Quest for Transformation Unstoppable. Wow, don't we all want that? Jen, welcome to the Accidental Creative Podcast.
Thanks for having me on.
I would love, if you wouldn't mind, could you just share a little bit about why, you know, obviously You're a Badass was very successful. You also wrote You're a Badass at Making Money. Why did you feel the need to write a book about being a badass every day?
I wrote this one because I kept finding people asked, you know, it's great, I read your book, I got so inspired, but how do I stay motivated? Like, you know, we've all had that experience where we go to a seminar, we read a book, and then we just sort of slide backwards and we're like, I'll change my life next week. So this is the fire under your butt, this little book.
Yeah, I always like to tell people that inspiration has a shelf life, right? Without application. And I think, you know, we, like you said, we read things, we experience things, and we feel so great in the moment. And then life happens and, you know, we sort of move on. So the book is centered around this concept of going to the spiritual gym every day. And, you know, I mean, many people, they go to a gym where they work out their body. Maybe they have some discipline around reading or something and developing their mind. But, you know, the spiritual gym is a new concept. I've not heard this before. What does that mean to go to the spiritual gym?
Well, just like going to the real gym, if you don't continuously work out your muscles, you get out of shape. And so motivation is a muscle. Confidence is a muscle. Tenacity is a muscle. Belief in magnificence is a muscle, and you gotta stay on it. So the spiritual gym, you know, that's what the You're a Badass Every Day is there to help you with. They're just little tiny bite-sized nuggets. So it's like to just keep, you know, working out the belief system to stay in the game and to keep moving forward.
Yeah. So would you take us through Jen Sincero's daily spiritual gym routine? What kinds of things do you do in your life to keep yourself fresh and engaged?
Yeah, well, the thing with the spiritual gym is it works differently for everybody. So you have to figure out what the things are that work for you. For me, one of the biggest mood changers and inspiration butt kickers is music. So if I'm feeling down or doubtful, I can put on a song and then suddenly I'm king of the world.
Sure.
Being out in nature and hiking is a huge one for me. I really respond to reading books too, and listening to meditations and stuff like that. And I meditate. So those are sort of my top go-tos when I'm really cranking away.
Yeah, I would say reading definitely over the course of time has been a really profound part of my spiritual gym practice. I never had that term before for what it was, but that's what I'm going to start calling it from now on. It's been really valuable, but I noticed that for a while I got into this habit of trying to read as many books as I could. So I was cranking through, you know, a couple of books a week and just kind of, you know, really just kind of busting through them as quickly as possible. And I realized I'm actually not deriving a lot from this. I would get way more out of this practice if I just slowed down and thought a little bit, right, about what I'm reading and apply it. Because I think it's so easy to get caught up in these kind of quantitative metrics, right, of how much am I accomplishing?
Oh, yeah. I mean, honestly, my mantra these days is slow down and shut up. You know, just really listen to what my intuition is trying to tell me and just lean back and go slower.
Yeah,
it's really interesting.
It makes a big difference, doesn't it? I think, you know, so much of how we measure success in our, especially in Western culture, is about how much you're producing, how many things you're putting out there. But the strange dichotomy of the whole thing is that you only produce more value when you slow down and you focus on producing the right value and you begin to listen.
Have you ever heard that awesome quote? I don't know who said it, but, you know, everyone should meditate for an hour a day unless you're really busy, and then you should meditate for 2 hours.
I love that. Yeah. And it's so true, isn't it? Because especially for creative pros, people who have to go to work and produce under pressure, so much of what we do is we listen for patterns and we look for reality behind reality. And if we don't have those practices, Jen, then we're just running faster and faster and becoming less and less effective.
Yeah. Yeah, because then you get caught up in sort of your knee-jerk reactions and you don't take the time to step back and look at the bigger picture and look at what you're falling for, you know, belief systems that you've just automatically assumed are the truth and you haven't really taken the time to question them.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so I would, this book is easily, highly digestible. I would even argue that this book could become part of your daily spiritual gym practice, right? Just reading like a section a day and meditating on it or thinking about it. I love books that are written that way. And I mean, I would say quick to read, but long to digest, right? It's kind of the way I think
that's
this book is.
One.
Yeah, because I think, you know, you really have to spend some time thinking about it. But I would love to just go through some of the nuggets that I pulled out of the book and just have you maybe expound on them a bit, because I think they would be really valuable for our audience. One of the quotes that really stood out to me was, "When you succumb to fear, you're under the illusion that you can predict the future." I would love for you to elaborate on that a bit.
Well, first of all, think about how many things you were terrified of doing that once you did them, you're like, oh, that wasn't so bad. And that also you can't even remember. Like, I try and think about the times that I've been so scared in my life, I can't conjure up the fear anymore. It dissipates, right? Once you conquer it. And the whole thing about predicting the future is we get ourselves in such a state of terror and we don't even know how this thing is going to turn out.
Yeah, I once read a quote from, I think it was Will Rogers, who said, worry is like paying interest on a debt that may never come due. And when I read your quote about, you know, succumbing to fear and believing you predict the future, it's what it made me think of, that we spend waste so much of our lives worrying about things that probably will never happen.
I know, we're so ridiculous. Did you ever watch Bugs Bunny? You know, when they used to hold up that sign that said, "Silly, ain't we?"
Right,
like that.
Right.
I always think of that. It's like, it's so silly. We will not do something that would bring us so much joy and make us feel so excellent because we're scared and that fear may never come to pass. It's bananas.
Absolutely. One of the other recommendations that you make in the book just really hit me between the eyes, and it was to call someone and tell them that you love them. Which on its surface, Jen, sounds so obvious, right? But we don't do these little things. We don't. It's the simple things that we forget. Why is this such a profound practice?
Oh my God, even when you just said that, I got all teary. But I don't, because that's what we're here for, is to feel and to connect and to improve the lives of ourselves and others. And that simple act, I mean, how psyched would you be if somebody you love just called just to tell you that? I think it's so simple, and it could change so many things, you know?
Yeah, I think, don't we fall into this trap of thinking that effective things have to be complicated, right?
Oh my gosh, totally.
and it's maddening, because some of the most simple things, like writing a note to someone or calling them and just saying, hey, I appreciate you. I really appreciate you. Thanks for the work that you do. Thanks for the place, the person you are in my life. You said something once that really affected me. You know, I mean, just simple things like that can make such a difference. Another really, again, simple thing, but really hard to do, is to write down 5 accomplishments and things you love about yourself, etc. So why do you think this is so helpful and valuable to us?
Because it pulls us out of the knee-jerk reaction, just blocks that we run around in circles in our everyday lives. You know, all transformation is about stepping back and shifting your perspective. Perspective is everything. It determines, you know, what you're focusing on becomes your reality. So when you shift your focus, you literally live in a different reality. So if you take the time to call somebody and tell them you love them, or to write down 5 awesome things about yourself, it reminds you. This whole book really is about reminding you to pay attention, because your focus is everything. And when you remember to focus on the things that make you feel strong and joyful, you can completely change your life.
Yeah, we don't. It's, again, it's maddening we don't do that. It's maddening that we spend so much of what we're accountable for in the workplace is bringing hope and joy and optimism and ideas and creativity and play and freshness. And yet when it comes to ourselves, we're the very critic whispering in our ear that we fear is going to be out there meeting us in the world when we introduce our work. And we're the least kind to ourselves of really anybody in our life. Isn't that so sad?
I know. And it doesn't have to be that way. You just have to remember not to do it. It sounds so simple, but you know, I had a friend who tattooed "duh" on her arm, because all epiphanies and all giant things that change your life are so stupid simple. Like, don't worry, be happy. Oh yeah. That actually is really good advice.
It is, but you know, we try to overcomplicate things.
Yes,
we do. Make, you know,
we love
and
that.
Yeah, that's why, again, to get back to, sorry, I keep coming back to this, but this idea of the spiritual gym, you know, when you go to the gym, like, it's not how complicated the exercise you do, the physical gym, it's not how complicated the exercise is. You know, most exercises are very simple, but it's just the repetitive nature that builds the muscle. And I think in the same way, if we look at our spiritual gym as a set of very simple practices that are going to feel repetitive sometimes, but these are things that keep us really focused. I just keep coming back to that, because I think it's such a great way of thinking about all of this. If you were to give people some advice, Jen, about how to begin this, how to begin these practices, where should they start? What should they do? Obviously, you want them, you know, to check out You're a Badass every day. But what are some places that people can start right now, right after listening to this interview?
To get into specifics, not only about what they want to create, but what their spiritual gym practice is going to be. Because a lot of times we're like, I want to make more money. I want to be in a relationship. I want to get a new job. And we just sit around in these puddles of vagueness that get us nowhere. So get very specific about what it is you desire, and then get into the emotional state of what it will feel like when you have manifested that desire. Really walk around as if, and conjure up that frequency, and then you'll be able to start noticing all the many things that are around you right now that can help you achieve that. That is paramount. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is figure out what your spiritual gym practice is going to be. Don't be like, oh yeah, I'm going to meditate every day and I'm going to read some books every day. How long are you meditating for and where are you doing it? What books are you reading and how many pages or how much time are you going to spend reading? Do you have a playlist with all the songs that are going to make you feel like a superhero? Mm-hmm. You know, who's your mastermind partner? Get whatever it is that you're going to be doing. You have to be super specific. And I mean, honestly, the spiritual gym can be 5 to 10 minutes every day. The key is it has to be every day. So get very specific about what you desire and what you're going to do to get there.
Ritual is so important. Even as you were just saying that, I just realized there are a handful of rituals I have in my life. Like, I've written 4 books. Every time I'm writing, I have these Archipelago Botanicals Havana candles, and I only burn them when I'm writing, and I never realized that. But it's a signifier. I have this playlist called Deep Meditation Experience by Ambient Music Therapy. It is my writing playlist, and every time I'm writing, I turn it on. It's just like this drone-ish. Don't listen to it when you're driving because you'll fall asleep. But it's just this drone-ish kind of music, and it's funny because that sense of place and time, and just these little simple rituals really sort of ground you, I think, in some ways. We need some stability in the midst of the uncertainty of our life. So
And we do it in negative ways too all the time. Like, I had a ritual of saying I can't afford it when I was broke. You know, and so that was reinforcing that truth. So becoming aware of those kinds of things is really important.
Yeah, I love that. So Jen, before you go, I would love to just ask one more question of you. Is there some great advice that you got at some point in your life that changed the trajectory of your life in some way?
You know, I remember one time talking to somebody and I was like, well, no, this is before I started really doing all the work. I was like, you know, I'll figure it out. I'm a freelance writer. My big transformation was around money. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, I've got a plan. Like, I'm going to keep writing. I'm going to keep doing it by myself. Basically, that was my big plan. And my friend just looked at me and was like, well, so how's that working out for you? And that just stopped me in my tracks. I was like, well, I've been doing it for 40 years and I'm still broke, so I guess it's not working out for me that well. And that's when I had to, you know, start doing stuff that made me really uncomfortable, like getting help and reading self-help books and all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, again, you talk about this in the book, but I mean, the power of relationship, right? The power of having people in your life who are willing to call out your crap and say, how's that working out for you? You know, because you like, we love to wish, but we don't necessarily always correlate those wishes with activity that's going to, you know, bring about the results we want. And so somebody from the outside can see that very clearly. And we all, and by the way, I think that probably if you're a person right now looking at the people in your life and you can see things in their life and they've given you permission to speak into their life, you have a responsibility to say to that person, hey, by the way, I just, as a friend, I care about you. I love you. I just want to call out this pattern, you know, and do with it what you want, but here's something, because I think we all need those people, right, in our life. Not the busybodies who stick their nose in. I'm talking about people who have given you permission to speak into their life.
Yes. But so few, so rare does anybody give you permission when they're really caught up in it, you know.
Very, very true. Uh-huh. Well, Jen, where can people find you if they're looking for you?
They can go to youareabadass.com or jensincero.com. It's jensincero.com. Both will get you to the same place.
Well, many thanks to Jen Sincero for sharing insights from her book, How to Be a Badass Every Day. If you like this episode, make sure you subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Remember, friends, cover bands don't change the world. Don't be a cover band. You need to find your unique voice if you want to thrive. We'll see you next time.